Never forget who you are, because we'll always make mistakes. But without mistakes, you don't have innovation. You don't move on. You don't break new ground.
I'm Dr. Eli Daher, and I believe personal branding isn't just about visibility. It's about credibility, impact, and legacy. I have the pleasure of speaking with Louise Brockman, CEO and founder of the Advisory Board Center, and a pioneer in setting global standards for advisory boards. Basically, you came up with the idea of advisory board by accident.
You know good people, Ellie, and having a sense of purpose for the organization is equally as important as the individual saying, what is my value and who's going to value that?
So what differentiates the person to another person is really his uniqueness in the attention economy.
You know, advisory boards are really interesting. They're about the future. No one's been there, so we're all making it up.
Next step is now, how do you go out in the open?
It's not only presenting to other people about what you know, but it's about meeting people and listening to what people are saying. People think that being a leader is all about telling others, but for me, it's about listening.
You're not building for today, not tomorrow. You're building for 10 and 20 and 100 years from now.
If we are still talking about the same things in 5 years' time that we're doing today, we're not doing our job.
What's the future going to look like, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to know.
Welcome to Reimagining You, the podcast for leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals ready to take control of their personal brand, build influence, and shape their future. I'm Dr. Eli Daher, and I believe personal branding isn't just about visibility. It's about credibility, impact, and legacy. In today's world, your story and your voice define success, not titles or corporate achievements. I have the pleasure of speaking with Louise Brockman. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Eli.
A visionary leader in the advisory board space, CEO and founder of the Advisory Board Center, and a pioneer in setting global standards for advisory boards. Louise's journey is nothing short of inspiring. From starting her first business at just 19 years old, she has built a career focused on entrepreneurship, leadership, development, and governance. She founded HR Coach International, expanding to 35 offices in 8 countries before transitioning into research-driven leadership in advisory boards. Through her work, she has uncovered groundbreaking insights on leadership governance and decision-making in organizations. She has dedicated herself to shaping the future of advisory boards, ensuring they bridge the gap between consulting, executive leadership, and independent governance. In this episode, we'll dive into her personal journey, her expertise in building influence, and the power of advisory boards in shaping business success. Most importantly, we'll explore how professionals can strategically position themselves as advisors, build their personal brand, and create meaningful impact beyond their corporate careers. Welcome, Louise, to the show.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure being here, Ellie.
I have a confession to make, Louise. I was doing a bit of research, part of preparation for this podcast, and I was reading that basically you came up with the idea of advisory board by accident. You started back 2003, I believe, where you start bribing people for lunch or buying lunch for people, getting them together and sitting together and chatting about subjects or issues. And the more you did of that, the more you started building that idea of advisory board. So I wish I've known that, because I've been running this advisory board almost every Sunday barbecue at my home. So how did that come?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, good people know good people, Ellie. That's what I think. And, you know, when you're in business, informally gathering with other people is an important part of, you know, the isolation that you have, especially in the business sector. But I think all of us in our professional careers can be quite isolated. That informal approach then evolved into a formal advisory board in 2005, when we had the opportunity to scale that business. And I was making decisions as a business owner and thinking, is that a good decision? I actually don't know whether it is, but I'm going to make it anyway. And so I've really felt I wanted to have the support from people that I really deeply admired and respected around me. But I didn't want to lose control of the business that I've worked so hard to build. So a board of directors wasn't the right thing for me because I wanted to control the asset that I worked so hard to build, but then build an advisory board that was going to help me problem solve and really test my thinking before I invested in the next stage of growth in the international market. And that was life-changing for me, Ellie.
Perfect. Excellent. If I would capture this as the essence for people or the viewers and the audience that are listening and watching today, I think the first step in the process is really crafting your mission and thinking about the mission. Now, for you, it came accidentally by meeting people, networking with people, and you found that mission and it made you excited. And then you started building it from the ground up. Now, for other people who are listening today, and I just shared that comment with you, how to basically not be coined as a PIP, which is a previously important person. So they're hiding behind the comfort trap of their business card and a title and a company name with all the perks that come with the executive job or the leadership job, travel and perks here and there, and neglecting their own personal values in terms of thought leadership, contribution to the world and to other people. So when they are trapped and they basically wanted to leave the corporate environment, they become a PIP, a previously important person.
Mm.
So by building slowly their personal brand, it helps them be more confident, perhaps them more being independent. Mm. And the first step is really finding your mission. And sounds like, you know, you found it. Others found it by deliberately thinking about it. The others stumbled by a compelling event. And it was pushed them to actually found the mission, their mission. So really finding a mission, I think, is a really an important point. And sounds like you found it. Now, you meet a lot of people and you certify people in terms of executive advisory board chair. What is the common denominator with all these people or most of the people that you encounter?
Yeah, look, the advisory board profession, we started the advisory board center as the professional body globally 8 years ago, just to really raise the standard of advisory boards around the world for the individual professionals and then in turn for the organisations they serve, and having a sense of purpose for the organisation, why the advisory board is there and what it's not there, is equally as important as the individual saying, what is my sense of purpose? Not only purpose, but really clearly identifying what is my value and who's going to value that. Because you can't be all things to all people. If you're going to be having a sense of purpose, there is a point of having a really strong intent. And then following intent is then really having that absolute paying attention, just really being in the moment, be focused and really deliberate in the work that you do. What I do find in the advisory board profession, people's backgrounds are varied and everyone's has expertise in their own areas of what they like to focus on. But there is this real strong sense of being purposeful in wanting to contribute and give back to others. And that spirit of contribution is something that is really very, very special, because ultimately advisory boards are optimistic in nature. So what is next? How do you look at the future in an optimistic way? And it's a really beautiful way to be able to use your professional expertise and reinvent yourself in that journey at the same time. Not let your build on your past, but don't let your past actually define your future. So people are really looking to really reconnect in a lot of ways their purpose and make it something that's just bigger than themselves.
Very powerful. Very powerful. And I think giving back and connecting is a really good value, specifically now with the new economy, shifting from being in a knowledge economy to really the attention economy. Mm. And a lot of us, senior people are a bit lost in between, right? Because if you think about the AI revolution, most of our knowledge is going to be canned and distributed everywhere and actually augmented. I look at a doctor, I look at a lawyer, I look at even myself in a lot of ways. My knowledge is probably democratized and could be shared anywhere. So what differentiates the person to another person is really his uniqueness in the attention economy. So bringing this to what you just said, people like to give back, but that's part of being unique because, you know, giving back in person, contributing in advisory boards, contributing to discussions and networks is really something different than a person going on a chat or any of AI assistant and pulling out that information. So how do you see the shift with AI and the advisory board mission and the uniqueness of the individuals that are part of the advisory board?
Look, I'm really very excited about the future, about the way that AI and advisory boards work together. So it's something that we'll be talking about this year with our latest research. And it's around, in the past, we talked about confidence in decision-making. Uh-huh. In the current market, we now talk about confidence in the decision-maker. So how do we gain confidence in someone else in the way that they're making decisions? And there's an equation to this, Ellie, which is around what is the information that's being sourced? What's the quality of that information? How relevant is it to the situation? Which is where AI comes in. That plus the quality of the informer. So where are you getting advice from? Because advice is not necessarily this is what you should do. You know, advisory boards are really interesting. They're about the future. No one's been there, so we're all making it up. And so it's not what you know. It's about what you think and how you think. So you've got the quality of the information plus the quality of the informer underscored by the organization's ability to execute on what it is that they're talking about. And so by doing that means that what you're talking about is relevant and that they are resourced to be able to do something about it and follow through on that conversation. That absolutely escalates value and escalates impact when that is really intentional.
Well said. Well said. I'm going to bring two acronyms here as well to follow through my first PIP story, which is my latest post, FOMO and FOBO. In the beginning of AI, we were at FOMO. Fear I'm missing out to be on the AI journey. Yeah. Now we're at FOBO. You know what FOBO is?
No, I'm dying to know.
Fear of being obsolete.
Yeah.
So now, you know, suddenly we start feeling the heat there of being obsolete. And your research, I'm sure, will tackle some of it. And I think being in the advisory role will solidify not being obsolete because definitely you're, you know, you're interacting and you're providing things and you're adapting to where you you use your knowledge and being adaptable to use that knowledge into situations, which is not going to be a strength of AI yet, right?
Fantastic. I just wrote that down, Ellie. That's a terrific one. I'll use that from now.
FOBO.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, 2 days ago, I put it on LinkedIn post and I had a lot of DMs and a lot of comments on it. So it was an interesting comment. Okay, I'm going to move on to the first part of the equation of building your personal brand is really identifying your mission, your unique value, your purpose, your credibility, authority, and then finding your voice. The next step is now, how do you go out in the open and claim that territory, be visible, whether it's on social, in a digital space, social media, LinkedIn, and whatever, whether it's on the physical aspect, being in panels and conferences, in writing papers, in advisory boards, and whatever. How did you take that idea, that mission, and you started building momentum into going out in the open and claiming credibility? You know, you're against a lot of currents there in terms of the directorship certifications and building those and you chose the track of advisory, which was, I think, a great move because that's a main differentiator between a directorship and advisory. Mm-hmm. I remember I met with you a few months ago and I told you, well, I'm a certified board director. Why would I need to take mm-hmm. your advisory board? And you have brilliantly positioned it. Why? And this is why I'm taking the certification again in June with you.
Looking forward to it.
But me too. So how did Louise take this idea and the mission out in the open, digitally and physically? And what can we learn about it from it?
Well, the first instance, if we take a step back, after I sold my previous business, I knew that the advisory board had changed my life. So having that direct experience and being really authentic about that, but then also knowing there's so much I don't know. So I took 5 years to research, test and validate advisory board structures around the world. And that's when we found there was no professional body looking after the sector. I actually had no intent of building one in the first instance. I thought someone else was already doing it, but there wasn't. Yeah. And so I felt this sense of responsibility that if no one else is doing it, someone needs to bring the sector together. And with the body of research that we had behind us, we understood the ethical dilemmas between the governance board, advisory board, consulting, executive, that knowledge was going to really help bring the sector together, as well as the care factor to say, this is going to be a big job. We deliberately built a 100-year strategy that it's going to take a long time to do this. And so bringing the ecosystem together was a responsibility that I just felt like I had to take to do that. So having a sense of responsibility of where you are, for all of us, to not be a victim to the situation but just really embrace it, with a real deep sense of curiosity. I love research, Ellie, for so many different things. I love using my brain to start with. And so I'm probably going to be a slow adopter of AI because I just want to use my brain instead. And then I love listening and being curious about what people are doing. Advisory boards as well as advice. And when you're building a portfolio, you've got to think about what is not my voice today, but what do I want my voice to be about in the future? What do I want to care about in the future and how do I build that? It's not only presenting to other people about what you know, but it's about meeting people, building on those relationships, being curious and listening to what people are saying and have this learning mindset. This is what I just love what I do, because people think that being a leader is all about telling others, but for me it's about listening, because it's the smallest thing that can really absolutely yes. change a situation. And people see and understand that you are really curious, you are really listening, and you do something about it, right? So if you see something needs to be done and you care enough about it, then go ahead and do it. Don't wait for permission.
You know, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should use them in that proportion, right?
Sorry, I just got another one for FOBO, fear of boring others.
Boring others, there you go. I like that too. I'm going to write it down. Just to recap a little bit for the audience and the viewers, and I want to extrapolate a little bit from the previous guest that I had. So here comes Louise. Here comes an executive, and I'm sitting and I have an idea. And I think the first thing you did is research it, whether there is a gap to actually create a wedge in the industry or contribute to the world or do whatever. I mean, how is the world crowded or not crowded with the same idea? Is it a Me Too or is it innovating ideas? So you need to do research whether it's viable as well and how much is the footprint of the audience that's going to accept it, right? Mm. So is it a niche or is it going to be for everybody? Mm. So there's a lot of components of the research, and you love research, and you've spent 5 years, which is for me, it's way too long for me, but I think you nailed it, because you had to cover all corners and make sure that it's viable. And I remember when I talked to you, you're not building for today, not tomorrow. You're building for 10 and 20 and 100 years from now. And that's what struck me as well when I was discussing with you. You're building for generations. It's a whole, it's a whole movement, if you want to say. So I salute you for that. But for the audience, that's an important aspect when you start thinking about, okay, now I've got a mission, I've got an ambition, and I want to build something or create something or contribute to something. Think about all the different elements, but don't overanalyze, I would say, you know, because you have to do something and start, because I give the credit to some of my previous guests. If you overanalyze, you are procrastinating. If you come from an analytical background, you tend to overanalyze. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes with the technology change, particularly if you're in the tech industry, like one of my great guests said, you know, Wissam, he's in the tech space. He says, you cannot wait too long, because if you wait too long, the shift in technology has already happened, and you miss that opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's the first takeaway from you. The second takeaway, I think, you know, building credibility and authority. I mean, you come from an HR business and you're suddenly stepping into boards and advisory and building that whole thing. And you had to build credibility and authority. Some of my guests have said, no, you need to stay in your lane. So if you're a technology person, stay in your technology. If you're in oil and gas, stay in oil and gas. If you're in HR, stay in HR. I want to ask your opinion on either staying in your lane or stay in the swimming pool, or just go completely out if you have any clout to stand on, any credibility to build, or any authority to claim outside your lane or your pond. What do you think, Louise?
Well, it's interesting. When I had my HR business, we did a lot of data collection on entrepreneurship and what it's like to work for an entrepreneur. So we had a study of 26,000 employees over an eight-year period.
Oh, wow.
I'll never do that again. It was interesting. We were collecting broad data, but we were only using the HR component. So we knew that we would always, while you're collecting information, you may as well go broad, but then goes really specific with the way that you go to market with it. But then you know you're building this knowledge bank that will be useful at some point, of which, you know, when I sold my previous business, I maintained the ownership of the intellectual property so that I can use it in other ways, that really ended up being. So we had 5 years of research, but before that we had 8 years of previous data, and we continue to research now. Now, the reason why research is really important to me is not to defend what we're doing and to justify what we do, but to challenge it so that you're always reinventing it. And so we're not fearful of a competitive environment. We're fearful of not leading the market and actually end up following it instead. So if you want to lead the market, you've got to always be challenging what you know, because for instance, in the advisory board space, if we are still talking about the same things in 5 years' time that we're doing today, we're not doing our job. The new state of the market report, our new research, has been released in May this year. Over 60% of the program and the methodologies have been updated from what was delivered, you know, previously. And so that puts pressure on the business, puts pressure on us professionally to always be on top of what we're doing. But it deserves that. It deserves that space. And it's so intellectually rewarding when you're doing that as well. So it's okay to change your mind and to shift your narrative. And for that narrative to reinvent yourself is just one of the most exciting things to do. Why keep on doing the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Reinventing yourself, reimagining you, you know, what's the future going to look like, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to know.
True, especially nowadays. You know, I'm not going to go there, but especially nowadays, the future is really uncertain. I want to bring it to, you know, one more level in a discussion. 15 years ago, till now, I meet a lot of people. And I asked the question, what are you going to do in a few years? You know, senior people like myself, or a bit younger than me, even my friends, my circle. Well, I wish when I finish, I'm going to retire and be sitting on a board, few boards here and there, making, you know, advice here and there, and then having a comfortable time. I'll serve maybe a few meetings, one meeting a month, one meeting a quarter, and then enjoy my life. And everybody has that kind of a dream painted in their head. Is this true or, a dream? And I know you talk too much. You talk a lot in your speeches and on the website about portfolio career, which I subscribe to. I think the future of 9 to 5 is ending. And even at the young age, we talk about portfolio career, even for the young people. Mm. So I want to listen to you about that dream or reality about portfolio career. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's there was like this holy grail of people feeling like, a board career is kind of like the pinnacle of my profession. And then you've got portfolios. So you've got board careers and then you've got portfolios. We know that when people are building a portfolio, generally they'll have between 2 to 6 different gigs on at any given time, being a really good combination of a few different things: governance boards, advisory boards, mentoring, consulting, interim executive, playing golf, a few different, combinations and all of that. And I agree with you, Ellie, it's absolutely current. We're not just having one job to ever define who you are professionally, and that keeps you really sharp and in contributing. You never take anything for granted when you have a portfolio of things to do, and you keep yourself really edgy and close to the market. I think the board career piece, where people say, I want to sit on a lot of governance boards is really shifting, and the pressure that governance board directors have, people are kind of wanting to balance and manage their own personal risk with governance boards, which is why so many are now doing governance boards and advisory boards and maybe other things as well, just to de-risk their own personal profile and really doing their due diligence on those that they're on those boards, because whatever that organisation does then becomes a direct reflection on your own personal brand and integrity in the market too. So you need to be worthy of them, they need to be worthy of you, and do your due diligence, I think, is really important in that, because sometimes people want to use your brand, your personal brand and your reputation to support what they're trying to do. So make sure that that's being done with a lot of integrity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Authenticity, integrity are key when you are sitting on these type of engagements. Mm-hmm. For me, I can see it. It's one of the artifacts of building your personal brand, because, we talked about the digital space, but we talked about the physical space, which is either sitting on panels, writing a paper, or being on advisory boards. Mm. I think this is a good support for your personal brand and claiming that space of knowledge that you can share to the world. So we talked about that. Now, of course, without network, it's very difficult to reach out to people, to get people to know you, and to maybe being offered even an advisory board role. Mm. How do you build a network? Sounds like, being on the advisory board and doing this type of certification, you built a community, a lovely community. I mean, I got the pleasure to explore a little bit online now with the community. It's a lot of people, like-minded people that are willing to engage, are willing to share. So how a person, again, being an executive, looking at building a personal brand, how do they build their network? Whether they do an advisory board or not, what sort of ideas you can share with us?
Yes, it's not about going to events and throwing your name and your business card around and trying to reach everyone. It's not old ways, right? It is, yeah. It's about working your net. So instead of networking, it's working your net. And you start with those that know you, where you've built your reputation. So your market generally is right there in front of you, and having those real genuine conversations about if you're moving from one profession and into another, to take other people on that journey, saying, this is what I'm doing, or this is what I'm thinking about doing, and then asking for, not asking for business, but asking for support. It's not about a sales process. It's about that, again, it's about those relationships and caring enough. And if you've got people who know you professionally, they'll be wanting to help and support you, but they won't know unless you tell them. And meeting them for a cup of tea, a coffee, taking that time, and then take that time to build those relationships. That's absolutely first to work the net. I've got two rules of thumb with regards to building up a market. First one is make yourself useful, and the second one is being a handy person to know. So when you are having conversations, you talk broadly, not just about yourself. And so your connections with other people then help you to help someone else. So you've got to give to then receive. And this Perfect. Is where the advisory board community itself, you know, we've got members all around the world, they become really good activists for each other, because you'll have your domain area of expertise where you need to have the ethical boundaries around when is it that I provide advice and when don't I, whether it's advisory board or governance boards or consulting, whatever that is, you'll always have the ethical boundaries. So you've got to be a handy person to know when you're talking to someone with that's got a need. You go, I'm actually not right for you, but can I introduce you to some other people that are? And that's really making yourself really useful, and building your reputation as a giver. And I think that's a really important part, especially in the space of advisory boards.
You know, you're not the first person who's telling me this. I had previous guests exactly expressing the same approach. And I shared my story. When you go around and you see people coming in events, in social events, or in technical events or business events, you have people introducing themselves with business card and or even in social events, no business card, but coming to get to know you. And they start asking questions. And what's going on in their mind, it's what's in it for them, right?
Yeah.
And here we're changing the narrative. We're changing the conversation. Mm. We ask questions to understand how I can help that person. And if not, how can I direct this person to somebody else that could help? And this is where you become labeled as a giver. And this is a brilliantly said, and that's a great advice for the listeners and the viewers, is that change your frame of mind here. When you go in a network event or meet somebody, ask questions to see what you can do to that person to help him or her succeed or advance, or, you know, anything that you can offer. If not, have somebody else, suggest somebody else to offer that help. So brilliantly said. Thank you for that.
That's okay.
Networking is actually a craft that a lot of us know the word but do not know how to apply it. Right?
Yes, and you know, when you're building a portfolio, whether advisory boards are in it or not, you take this part of your career with you for the rest of your life, you know, and your reputation. Take your time to build your reputation. Do it with a lot of quality, a lot of care, because the market will follow you when you build your reputation that way, I think.
Yes. And it takes 5 years to build reputation. It takes 5 minutes to destroy it. Right?
Yes.
While you were telling me about work your network, I thought about an acronym, a WIN with a Y. Work your network with a Y, right?
Yeah. So, your next book is
that's
going
also
to be
a good one.
The book of acronyms is your next book.
exactly. I'm sure, Louise, your journey was not very, always as rosy as it is. And most of the time, you have stumbled on mistakes or issues that you have. Can you share a story with us that you learned from a mistake or two that we can share with the audience or the viewers?
Well, the early story back in 2004 was that we built a software package to automate human resources for the business sector, and we launched it to market. We ended up with thousands of businesses using that software, but not in the beginning. So I ended up having to sell everything that I owned, Ellie, to keep that business going. And you never forget that moment of what commitment is all about. I still think back to that. I remember the moment that I made that decision And it was a traumatic evening. The next day, though, was I'd made that commitment. It's going, okay, move on, make it happen. And I remember, you know, looking up to the ceiling of my house and pointing to the future me saying, I'm doing this for you, you know, make me proud. And I think about myself way back then at that moment in time and the commitment that was made to invest in what we were doing and to follow through on that. So I'm very grateful for the past me of making that brave move and to never forget who you are, because you'll always make mistakes. Without mistakes, you don't have innovation. You don't move on. You don't break new ground without making those mistakes, because at some point something's not going to be a mistake. And I've made so many mistakes, but the ones that have gotten through have built a sector. Everyone that's part of that, it's not just me. I just started it. Well, I'm passing it on to four generations ahead. I want it to be something that we're all really proud of. Yeah.
Every mistake is an opportunity to learn and grow from that, right? So, brilliant. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. And I'm going to ask you, on behalf of the viewers and the audience, a final words of wisdom and an advice, especially for those executives that are sitting and then behind their comfort zone thinking, what should I do next? How do I move forward?
I'd like to think about that maybe in two different groups, really. Those that have already made the transition and now going, what have I done? This is really, really hard, is to work your net, go and meet the people, and don't be afraid to learn. Leave the title and leave the organisational name behind you and be proud of who you are, what you personally represent, and be really clear about your value as a professional. And think about, what do you really care about? What do you think will actually give you joy? And follow that. For those who are thinking about maybe being a portfolio professional in the future or a director and they're still in the organization, they're the smart ones who really focus on building their networks and building advisory boards inside their organizations while they're an executive. So that way they don't move from everything to nothing, but they've actually built out their networks beyond the organization and beyond the immediate ecosystem, and be proactive in being broader and making sure that the role doesn't define who they are while they are still in that role.
Very nice. Thank you for that advice. I think there is one more category which I tend to neglect during our discussion, because you know, we all talked about in the last hour about the people who are working today and are thinking of moving forward, building their personal branding to just do something different later on, being an advisory board or having a portfolio career. But we forgot that within the organization, you can still stay employed, progress in your organization while building your personal brand for the organization itself, for you and the organization. There's a mutual value in having a CEO that is much more visible, a much more credible, visible, have and his own or her own personal brand to him or herself and to the organization. As in numerous studies saying that 87% of these companies that have a CEO or executives that have a personal brand tend to acquire more customers, more, be more credible to customers, more engagements. And so I don't want to neglect those people, because I don't want to also, our mission or my mission in Reimagining You is not to push people to leave their job, right? It's to cover, build their personal brand for their own self, but also give back to whether their organization or to the environment and the world around them.
Right? Yeah, well said.
Very good. Louise, this was great and very enlightening. Thank you so much for sharing, for taking the time being with us on this podcast. We value your insights, sharing your story, and your advice. I think these are wealth of information that could be consumed by our viewers and audience. So thank you for that. And for our viewers, if you like this podcast, if you have any comments, please drop them down and we will attempt to answer them. And subscribe for more. Till the next episode. Thank you.